Amagwini ithokozani emakhosini. Igama lam nguzipho wakwaKudolamo elokugula nguMayihlome. Xa uthanda ungandibiza ngoGumayihlome okanye ngoGonyazi lweZulu. Bendizothanda uthatha eli thuba ndicamagushe kuzo zonke izihlweli ezindiphetheyo eziphakathi komzimba wam endilibeleyo okanye endingazibizanga ngoku zingaqumbi iziqalekisi. Ndiqale ngocamagusha emabheleni, emkolanga odlambulo oqunta ovaphi onondanda kuphakanyiswa, ndiyacamagusha. Ndicamagushe emazizini olamyeni omtatela ongxibinoboya. Ndicamagushe kombathane oxesibe, ndingawalibelanga mampinga owawa obholokoqoshe. Camagushe kwisihlwele sandiphehlelelayo sandibekibhekile entloko, nditsho kuthiyani uzengele unonkosi xa ndisitsho ndicamagushe. Camagushe ke kwisihlwele sotholo ondlangisa, ndicamagushe kootida ongcwangule. Camagushe kwisihlwele sandifundisa uphakama isidlozi, njalo ndithokozise kubaba wam uMamntambo kaNhlangothe, ngithi thokoza gogo. Ndithokozise kugogomkhulu wami uMapitsi kaMahoto, ndithi bayethe makhosi amakhulu, makhosi ezizwe. Ndiyacamagusha.
Thokozani and welcome to episode 14 of Gogo Have I Been Scammed, brought to you by Times Live. On this platform, we discuss, share wisdom, and raise awareness on all things traditional African spirituality and indigenous knowledge, including but not limited to scams. My name is Gogo Zipho Dolamo, and I am your host. We are still in the month of March, and in true fashion, we are still engaging in discussions about human rights, responsibilities, particularly in the context of ubungoma and the practice of traditional African spirituality. In episode 13, we briefly spoke about legislations that prohibited practice and open identification. Today, we have a chance to speak to someone who sort of has a little bit of a lived experience pre-democracy and pre-constitution. Camagu, and welcome. Thokoza, Mamkhonjwa. We are delighted to have you today. Thank you for agreeing to speak to us once again.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Firstly, I just want to say, in the day and age that we are in right now and in the social situation that we're in, spirituality and African spirituality really is at arm's reach away. You turn your TV on, there's someone talking about spirituality. You turn the radio on, there's discussions about spirituality. Different TV shows even delve into different parts of spirituality. But I just want to take it back a bit and ask about your context, right? Uti, when you were growing up and in your social situation pre-democracy and pre-constitution, what was the situation like?
The picture was totally different from what it is now. For example, I went to a Catholic boarding school, and I know most of my friends, everyone I went to school with, izangoma is nothing we ever discussed. Even in my community, seeing igqirha or isangoma in regalia, it was something very rare. Up until the age of 34, for example, I myself had never been to, isangoma to consult my family. I had never heard of my family talking about consulting igqirha or isangoma. So it was not even a topic you would hear elders discussing. And amagqirha or izangoma were considered very sacred people, respected, highly respected within the community. When you pass a sangoma, there was a way to greet, for example. But nowadays the picture is quite different. Go to a mall in the townships, you'd probably meet like 20 sangomas in one day, and we'll just pass each other like no greetings, nothing. That's what it is today. So the picture is totally different. Even on the internet, for example, because I remember my first blog was in 2011 when I started trying to blog about, you know, matters of spirituality. There was nothing on the internet. You would find nothing. All like, to if you think about it now, I don't know how many Gogos have social pages. You know, we all have like a presence, you know, within the social media space. That was very, it was very taboo to even talk about issues of spirituality publicly. You understand? It would be seen as if you are advertising, and advertising for Esangoma was very taboo. Esangoma, those days, it was believed that, you know, Idlozi Lakho should bring you clients. You should not be talking about, you know, yourself and what you do and how you do it. So it was very taboo for Esangoma to be talking about their services back in the day.
Thokozani ma, you said some very interesting things that I want to touch on, right? I think first, the idea, Yoguti, because now the climate is so different, and we have, I mean, different to even when you were starting your blog in 2011, right? Completely different in that it's now in our faces everywhere, every day. And this has raised some questions and has raised some inquiry points into the space, Yobungoma, particularly about the possibilities of the different types of healers within the space, right? And for example, we see in one of the reality TV shows, I think it was Widows Unveiled, right? There was a Sangoma who's popularly known, but she was sort of acting in the capacity of a medium in that space, right? And now it has now opened a can of worms, Yoguti. Are there Sangomas? Are there mediums? What is going on in this space? Can you tell us a little about the types of healers and if it's possible to wear all of those hats, or does one person just have one gift?
Yeah. Look, I think it's different strokes for different folks, eh? I'll speak for myself, for example. You know, within the different genres, if you may call it that way, I am Xhosa, Ndithwase uCamagu, iMhlophe. I've also twasad what we consider universal, umnguni nomndawo. I've also twasad amakhosi akwaZulu. Ngiphakamisile isithunywa. You understand? So I'm also umprophet or umthandazeli. You understand? So, for example, ndiyakwazi ukuthwasisa isiXhosa, ndiyaphehlelela ngokwasesiXhoseni, ndiyavumisa, ndiyanyanga amasiko kumakhaya ngamakhaya. When it comes to umnguni nomndawo, it's my choice not to practice umnguni nomndawo, because I feel for me it's based on a culture I don't fully understand, much as I twasat the genre, but I don't fully, like, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel, I don't know how to put it, but even my passion is not there. You understand? Because for me, umnguni nomndawo is mostly about isikhwama. You understand? Ugaya umuthi, you get me? Mina ekhaya vele, my grandfather began his kwama itas, you understand, which I took over. So by virtue of that, I feel that umndawam is fulfilled, you understand, but I don't feel comfortable ukuthwasisa umnguni nomndawo. I feel comfortable ukuphosa amathambo nokugaya umuthi, but ukuthwasisa ngokomnguni nomndawo, I don't feel, and ithongo lami alingithumi lapho. So I'm not, it's not even something that bothers me. Then we talk about amakhosi. Amakhosi ngiwaphakamisile amakhosi akwaZulu, but even there, I don't twasisa amakhosi ngoba I feel ukuthi I'm not Zulu. I am not, you know, isiko lamaZulu angeke angiliphili, so I don't even want to try ukuthi ngingathwasisa isiZulu. However, what I learned from ukuthwasa amakhosi ukuthi ngikwazi ukusebenza ngamagobongo, you understand? Ngiphakamisele abantu amagobongo, abantu abagula ngomndiki, amanono, kanjalo kanjalo. So for me, when I have an initiate that is sick in that way of umndiki, umndawa phansi, kanjalo kanjalo, I can take what I learned from emakhosini and assist that person, you get me? And then also, ubuprofethi, ngaphakamisa isithunywa sami, ngasiphakamisa eMpumalanga. So there are times or there are clients when they present themselves to me, I feel with this one, umuthi might not work on them. Then my spirit will tell me or will lead me to use isithunywa or ngimthandazele lowo muntu. So I know there are many other people like me. You can be gifted in many ways. You get me. Abanye abantu baphiwe ka like isiphiwe C1, abanye bethu baphiwe ka 2, ka 3, ka 4.
Camaku gogo, camaku. I suppose my next question is about is quite linked to how you describe your gift and how you operate your gift, in the sense that utwasile in other avenues, but you don't necessarily further the learning yokuthi uzothwasisa in that field, but you use what you've learned ngokunyanga kwakho in your day-to-day basis, right? I suppose my next question, Gengogo, has a lot to do with what is now known as New Age spirituality, right? The crystals, the tarot cards, that realm of spirituality, right? And izango that use it. And the question of that validity, right? Because abantu are of the view ukuthi tarot cards are not African, so you cannot use them to be diagnostic, or crystals are non, you know, they are not from an African school of thought, and so you cannot immerse yourself in that. What do you have to say about that?
Look, with me, I honestly believe that most importantly, in any type of is your intuition. You understand? If your intuition is on point, you can teach yourself just about any other form of divination. You get me? Let me make, and also, I have a feeling that your ancestral spirits, remember, we live now. You understand? It is our time. It was their time back in the 1800s. You understand? My spiritual guides. But now there's me in this day and age of technology. You understand? And my eyes are wide open. I am, you know, I'm seeing things. I'm learning tarot. I know, you understand? So your spirit is with you all the times. They know what is available out there. And you understand? So your spirit is fully aware of what you are aware of as well. So if your spirit, if you like something, this is my feeling, if you like something, if your spirit allows, it will lend you an opportunity to learn whatever technique. Let me make an example. I use my divination mostly is just intuitive. I'm very lazy to use, you know, the different techniques. Throwing bones for me is just, you know, I will throw my bones when I'm feeling like I'm in a tight corner, you know, things are not making sense. But generally I trust my intuition. But now I had a friend, she passed on, that used playing cards to divine. And her cards used to be so on point. It used to make me curious, like how? I mean, not even tarot, playing cards, you know, like your deck of cards, the bicycle cards. So I was curious, very curious, and I had this wish because I felt like, wow, you know, life is so easy for her. I wish I could, you know, have access to that technique as well. But you know what happened? I think about four, this is 2018. I woke up one day, like around 12 midday. An old woman just came out of, the water. You understand? Carrying what do you call them? Calabashes? No, it's not a calabash. Is it a calabash? Yeah, and a pack of cards. We sat on the riverbank, and she taught me, she showed me, she would lay them on the grass and tell me if this card is together with this card, this is what it usually means. If you take this one, house of, I mean, spades, maybe four of spades, and five of fly, this is what it means. These cards are mostly about emotions. These ones are mostly about power. These ones are mostly about royalty. You get me? It was a very fast lesson. I can't explain to you how fast and in such a like a very short period, but I was able to grasp a lot of information. When I woke up from that dream, I went to a spaza shop to buy a pack of cards. I bought the pack of cards and I drew a what you call a spreadsheet, with numbers 1 to 10, K, J, Q, whatever, and then fly, spade, diamonds, and so forth. And I could only remember maybe about 15 of the boxes, to fill in. But then as I filled in the different boxes, I could already I could already get the pattern and I could understand, you understand? So I started filling, the different boxes myself now, also using my intuition. And I started practicing with my cousins, with my nieces, and nephews, and I would be mostly on point. That's how for me, tarot, I mean, I got to learn to use playing cards to divine. So all I'm trying to say is, if your spiritual guide is fine with you using, Western ways of divining, I don't think it's impossible. I honestly don't think it's impossible. We live in a world that is so connected. You get me? I think it would be stupid for anyone to, turn a blind eye to new ways of doing things, if it makes life easier, why not?
Why not? Why not? I think for me, divination as well is a very, depends how I feel, right? And I will openly say that engaging in the ways of divination that I was taught epithrani can sometimes be very exhausting, right?
Exactly.
Throwing bones can be very incredibly exhausting. And sometimes Jay, it's just not the space, right? Or the time. And I do know that Mna, I navigate my spiritual practice again based on the teachings of my first interaction with spirituality, which was Indwaso yesiXhosa, right? And in Indwaso yam yesiXhosa, there were very lot of rules, a lot of regulations to be observed. And there were certain times of the month, obviously, as a woman, that I cannot practice, right? Or I cannot do the African things, and Ngwazi Isilawu and Ngwazi Hlamamayeza, or so as I was taught, right? But I found when I grew in my spiritual practice, it became for me impractical that I could accept that my body could be limiting in every other avenue that I can pursue spirituality, right? And so I started looking at other ways, how other cultures do divination. What do they say about it? How do they do it? And once I did a bit of research, and I think tied to the tarot and playing cards discussion was that when I started doing research about tarot cards, I found that they're very similar to playing cards as well, right? The order of them, how you make sense of them. So I learned how to use a tarot deck, and then I put my tarot deck away and I said to myself, okay,
if I just take a pack of playing cards right now and I say, I'm going to use this as a divination tool, is this going to work? And surprisingly, it did. Surprisingly, it did, because it was almost as though I used knowledge in one field and I trusted in my intuition enough that that knowledge would be enough for me to try out another divination tool. And I think that is a very important aspect of growth in divination as well. Yoguti, the things you are taught, however, your way is ultimately yours.
Exactly. For example, if we may expand on the topic, you find that other healers have a problem with people like us that can consult, you know, that offer online readings. You get me? Yeah. But if you've got tools like your tarot cards and your whatever, well, it's very easy to connect to the other person. You understand? Because you've got the tools right in front of you. For example, with me, if I talk to a person on the other end, if I know your name, your clan names, like have a small discussion with you, get your date of birth, for example. So with just a bit of numerology and a bit of, you know, connection between me and you as we are talking, I can lay the cards. You know, I can deck the cards and give you a reading. And most of the times, I'll be spot on. You get me? Mm. And for me, I feel that it opens doors. You understand? For you to talk to, you know, to be able to connect with people in Limpopo, in Swaziland, you understand? I'm not limited to just my immediate community. You get me? That's why a sangoma that is open-minded will never go poor, because, you know,
there's just so many avenues. There's so many ways you can reach people.
Exactly. It also goes to a point I want to make, that ubugqirha or being a sangoma should be a gift, isn't it? So a gift, if it's called a gift, then it must be beneficial to you as well. You get me? So, yeah, why must you be poor and you have a gift?
I love that, that it must be beneficial to you as well, because the narrative is that, you know, it's just difficult. Yonke into is just an uphill.
The reality is, It's about numbers, like in any other trade. You understand? The difference between me and a person from my village, you understand, that is not open-minded, that is not open to the world, is that they will see maybe 3 people in a month, and I will see 100 people. I'll talk to 100 people in a month, and you understand? You understand how many other friends, you understand, will I have access to, and that person? So you already, you know, if I'm able to connect to people in Limpopo, doesn't matter if they are Zulu, Xhosa, or Ndebele, or you understand, spirituality is spirituality. Sometimes, yeah. You understand. There are, like I was saying, there are things I cannot do that are pay a particular culture, but there are things that cut across the board. You get me? Why not if you can?
If not, why not? And I think now that we have so many possibilities and there's so many different ways in which we can reach people and we can sort of conscientize people on the realm of African spirituality, right? We are faced within some responsibilities, right? We have all of these rights now. We can openly be ourselves. We have some responsibilities as Izambo. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the first ones I want to go into, and I think it's a very plain question, but I think you will understand what I'm asking. And that is, should we give clients what they ask every time they come to us?
Sometimes I believe, no, not all the times. Sometimes, you know, clients, how do I put it? They don't know better. You understand? They need to be advised. You get me? For example, let me make an example. Isidliso. You understand? Ukudlisa umuntu. I usually say, anginikidlisa umuntu ongashadanga. You understand? But if you guys are married and one of you goes astray, my sense says there was once love and commitment in this relationship. Something went wrong, you understand, along the way. Now, to reconnect, because, you know, spirituality, African spirituality is all about building units, like a united families, not breaking families down, you get me? So if ukunika idliso will help make sure ukuthi your family stays intact, you understand? So be it. But a girl that, you know, is ujola nomuntu oshadile and they want that man to be theirs, that girl does not know any better. Hence, for example, you find many GBV cases today because of intando. People have easy access to intando. Intando has pros and cons. Intando can cause someone to love you too much. You understand? To a point that if you are not able to do, like, or, you know, to return the love they give to you, they become violent. You understand? And people don't know that. So you must advise the client that, are you going to be, you understand, boss? This is likely to cause this person to behave in such and such a manner. Are you going to be able to love umuntu upopai? You understand? When they become, you know, a yes ma'am man, are you going to be able to tolerate that for the rest of your life? You get me? So sometimes clients are not aware of the repercussions, the side effects, you know. So I don't think, yeah, no mntwana uyathwasa. You get me? Only to find umntwana akathwasi, umntwana has been failing in school, and now ukuthwasa is an easy way out, you know, an easy excuse, which the reason I'm not doing well is because ngiyathwasa. You understand? He just saw abanye abantwana bethwasa ukuthi, oh, okay, now I can use that as an excuse. You understand? So as a diviner, I mean, I'm looking for signs which lomuntu athwasa. You find nothing at all. I'll be like, no, there's nothing wrong with telling a client, which, no, actually, there's nothing, you know, that says this child should be initiated. So, yes, I don't think, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, advise the client accordingly.
I think I speak for many in the audience. I do know that the particular word yedliso that you used is going to be a very contentious matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that particularly in this conversation where we're speaking about rights and human rights and the different ways in which we can very clearly violate each other's human rights spiritually, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, I'm taking your consent and your choice away, and I'm making the decisions, right?
Yes. Yes. You are very right. I usually say, you understand? You are completely changing how do I put it? Autonomy, your life, your mind. You get me? Hence I say sometimes you need to be sure ukuthi idliso is warranted for. You get me? It can't be always right, but sometimes it's necessary.
So Udemi and I, Udemi the producer and I, had a discussion about this a few months ago, right? We had watched something, and Udadazala Waklomzi, basically, he is the one who intervened ngedliso in the relationship with his son and Makoti Wakona, to ensure ukuthi umakoti uyahlala lana ekhaya and so forth.
Yeah.
Right. Is he warranted to make that kind of an intervention? And is that a thing that actually happens?
No, I don't. It happens. It happens. It used to happen a lot back in the day as well. I'll tell you something. It's Golgatsik. Esixhoseni, most people don't understand ukuthi utsik is not even isiko. It was just a ploy. When their sons marry a girl. Kuzothathwa that qatha lenyama lithakwe lifakwe, you know, incindi yalomfana mixed with, you know, the different herbs zentando adliswe lo makoti ukuthi you know, whenever she wants to leave, she's, you know, she'll always change her mind. It was a normal practice back in the day. But nowadays, now that we are aware of our rights, our human rights and all of that.
My mind is blown, Mama. My mind is blown. So you're saying, no, my mind is completely blown. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Utsiki ayilo siko. Utsiki was meant ukubiyela abantu to remain here. Sisibambelelo, uyabotshelelwa kulomzi, you understand? Ukungatyutsiki will not cause you any problems emtshatweni wakho, as ingathi khonto shotayo awutshatanga properly. Utsiki was never meant to be isiko. We make it isiko now because now they don't even understand ukuthi wayenzelwa ntoni. So awusathakwa nothakwa la tsiki. You get? Yes. Yeah, it is what it is.
Wow. I was not aware of that at all. And just how normal the practice was in itself, because ngoku xa sithetha ngedliso, you know, you speak about it in hush-hush corners. It's not usually a practice that, I mean, it was such a big practice that it has essentially permeated through our culture and it's become a cultural practice.
That is why, if you think about it, our grandparents, it was very rare and very taboo for ugogo. Like there were very few divorces back then. Very few.
And it's a spiritual intervention. You know, with your will, but uzawuhlala because, you know, of the circumstances, or rather the spiritual circumstances.
But let's get back to the topic of when is idliso appropriate?
When is it appropriate and inappropriate? When is it a violation of my human rights and when is it not?
Look, for me, this is my take. Let's take an example of a married couple. Ne? The man now gets, you know, attracted to some young lady. You get me? The man loves his wife. It's not like we are told because he does not love the wife. He's still very much in love with his wife. You understand? They have children. They've built a nice home. There's peace in their home. But just because now, you know, feelings and, you know how it is with men and this man can't, you know, keep it together and caught this young lady. The young lady seeing, which, wow, this man, you know, has a fleet of, you know, yellow fleet, unama tender, unama trucks, wena ganda ganda, wena, you understand, like I'm a million rand tenders, you get me? And the wife is a housewife that does not have to work, you know, that shows up in Gucci this and Louis Vuitton that, you know, they go on holidays in Paris. So she's watching all of this on Instagram and wants that life for herself, you get me? She comes to scrupulous nonkwenkwezi and asks for intando unonkwenkwezi amnike intando adise le yandoda eshadile enabantwana ethanda unkosikazi wayo. We understand to distort the mind yale yandoda. We understand kube ngazuthi ayimthanda unkosikazi. You get me? That family is now broken. This one never had any intention to build this man. We understand. All they wanted are the riches of this man. In my case, a situation like that, I would definitely use intando to bring this man back.
So to right the wrong, essentially, right? In the same way, mauti uyagusangoma because you feel like, you know, there's a lot of things blocking your path and so forth and so forth, and uyolahla those things. So to fight back for yourself. Thokozani Camagu, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. And I think just to get back to responsibilities and boundaries, right? So I come from I come from a context emaXhoseni firstly, twasithongwe limhlophe, and there's a very specific way of being down to how you conduct yourself with people. Right. And so I got that very strict, reserved kind of training and then back to the world, right? Where I then went to Joburg, back to, you know, parts of my life where now there's a lot more sangomas in and around and a lot more people who are wanting to engage with izangoma, right? So much so that I felt that, you know, there are very different ways of operating here, right? In the sense that yoguti, umdu just comes to you, engakwazi nokwazi ati thokozani gogo ubonani ngami. You know, I come from a context where that is unimaginable for anyone to do that to uthongo, to igqirha, because there is that level of respect and esteem and so forth, right? And then that implicates naturally how izangoma of a particular place conduct themselves, right? And so I was thinking about this the other day on watching an episode of something, right? And this man, he's a sangoma, he's with his wife, and they are at a restaurant. And as they're ordering from their waitress, this man almost goes into full tone. He says, "Ajela, waitress indaba zakhe," right? Practice that was very accepted in Johannesburg and in Gauteng and in other parts. Whereas up on the Vela corner, that's not necessarily a thing, right? That's not how you conduct yourself. And so I want to then ask about ubungoma and conducting yourself, right? What are our boundaries as izangoma? How do we approach people like that? What is acceptable and what is not acceptable? Naturally, I know that this answer is subjective because as fundiswa ngokufanayo, but I think we can agree the invasion that is having someone you've never met suddenly tell you such big things about your life. And how did you receive that, Ungu?
I think me and you possibly come from the same school of what?
Practice.
Yes. I was taught ukuthi you only worry about matters that are brought to endumbeni yakho. You get it? For example, in my community, I may get to understand what the problem of a particular family is. We understand they are oblivious to their problem. It's not my place to go to that family and tell them, look, you have this and that problem. I can help you. No, I only help people that come to me. Reason being, we are guided by spirit, right? And I believe that spirit, you know, if you are my client, you're coming to me as a client, I would like to believe that your spirit has led you to me. Our spirits have met and have discussed and have, you know, they realize which I'm one person that can help you. So you are coming to me because your spirit allows you to come to me, because your spirit believes the kind of help you need, you will get from me. You get me? And in that way, I think you see what the practice that is happening now, you know, people writing their dreams on Facebook, on TikTok, you know, you understand, and bogus healers accessing their inboxes. Look, I saw your dream and I can help you. You know, this is what you understand. Everyone is a healer now. So people are becoming victims, you understand, because not all of us are upholding umthetho wobugqirha, umthetho weshoba, for example.
If you were to have advice for the ordinary person, oguguti, they have been just approached by someone that tells them uguti, hey, ngibona uguti noguti, and these are catastrophic things, right? How would you advise that person to react in that situation? Because one would think that in a perfect world, if kukhusangoma or somebody that can see something about you, that person could, if they can help you, they, you know, you would go to them for help. But in the world that we live in, there's too many scammers for that, you know? So how uhluzanjani ungumntu ukuthi wenza njani? What would be your advice to just a lay person?
Well, my advice is that anyone telling you that you have a problem, you must already know that you have a problem as well. You get me? I can't hear it from you that dinomqwaliso and I don't know. You get me? I can see the signs. For example, I must be seeing the signs. Like I can't keep men, any men. I can't keep a job. My relationship with my mother is not the best. You understand? So there are signs already. So if you're coming to me, like if I meet you and you tell me, hey, when I'm qualified, what? So you understand? So I'm like, okay, fair enough. You can send in umqwaliso, you understand? But I didn't come to you for help. You get me? You are just alerting me. The best I can do is take my family, you understand, to take me to a healer we know as a family, you understand? A healer that has references, a healer that has helped, you know, one of us. I myself will never go to a healer I've never, you know, heard of. That's just, you know, opening a can of worms for yourself. Why do you want to be a guinea pig? So my advice is to involve your family. There must be someone with you when you go to consult. And there must be a reason for you to go to consult. You know, it's becoming, these girls, young girls and boys are making us rich. You know, coming to our ndumbas for no good reason. Sometimes there's no reason. They, you know, they're just curious and wanting to consult for no reason. You understand? And coming alone, you understand? It's very easy to, you know, it. You know, do you think umuntu will turn you away and tell you, no, there's no problem with you, go home? You know?
Oh, Sometimes being naive, but you know, this is what some of these platforms like this are for. I think to wrap up the discussion about, I suppose, the general discussion, but also about human rights and the Constitution and the kinds of ways that it has created for us to be able to function here today. Do you think that enough has been done generally to help healers integrate into general society? Because in as much as we see that there's a lot more healers popping up everywhere, but is there enough effort to integrate African indigenous knowledge systems, for example, into curriculum? to integrate medicine, what direction should we be going in?
Look, I don't think there's enough being done. And sometimes I ask myself, what is it that must be done? Because spirituality is something you neither can touch or control, or you get me? How do you legislate that? You know, how do you legislate me seeing something a judge will not see? You get me? Because if you go to court, a judge wants evidence. Now I can see what's lo mundu thwetshulwe lo. You know, this person did not die like naturally. Most of our fields, you know, medicine, whatever, even the church can be regulated. But traditional healing, trust me, I don't think it's that easy. It's just spiritual and just lucid, you know. I don't know if it should be legislated. I think there are parts of it that can be legislated, but also there are parts of it that, you know,
that we are unable to legislate. Yes. Like, for example, if there is intervention, so if how do we prove that? You, like you said, you know that, I know that, the family knows that, but how do we bring the person who did that to our person accountable? How does that work?
Exactly.
Without any physical evidence. But I guess these are some things that we can
continue. You know, in that case, our court tina is impinda. You know, impinda liko talako at that moment.
At that moment. At that moment.
Child will never, will never, like, no one will ever be, you know, thrown to jail because the Esangoma said, ugloyile. No. But Impinda will deal with them.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Amakuba Manjabulela, so much for your time today. Thank you, against all odds. I know Ubamna. Abantu at least like to tamper with technology. So when we were having issues, I thought to myself, oh gosh, that's partly like under my breath, but I hope this works out and it's not la makaba asekaya trying to intervene where I am to intervene. So thank you so much. Sibonge mazinzini, kamakuma.
Siyabonga, ngiyabonga kakhulu.
Tamakwini and Thokozani, thank you to our wonderful guest who I know said some things will spark a lot of discussion. Firstly, I think I want us to be aware, Uguti, there are so many different types of healing and avenues of divination within the spectrum. You heard for yourself, Uguti, whatever your intuition takes you to, try and master and perfect that and find different ways, because spirituality is too vast for all of us to simply just be throwing bones, first and foremost. Secondly, there seems to be a lost sense of reputability in Makgifeni, in as much as we celebrate the fact that we are now living in a democratic South Africa, we are all able to wear our identities the way that we see fit and so forth. But the volume increase of Izangoma has sort of, or rather the voluminous increase has taken away somewhat to the sacredness of them and how we, or of us rather, and how we approach Izangoma. Umam Kondra touched on that a little bit, Yoguti. Back in the day, Umgoma was a person who wasn't necessarily very integrated into the society, but sort of was. Very well respected, but because Gengoku Sipila is manje manje, it is what it is. I do also know, Uguti, one of the more interesting parts that you must have found in this discussion was the part Tieliso. And I just want to clarify, she is not saying, Uguti, you know, here we are as Lisane kube mnandi. I think if you listen very carefully, she speaks about Iliso in the context of defending oneself and in very specific contexts. Again, because it is the month of human rights, I will urge us all not to violate each other's rights to choice by coercing one another spiritually in any way or another. More simply, asingadlisani. Let's try and stay away from that. And that is it from this edition of Gogo Have I Been Scammed. To share your story with us, please email us on gogohaveibeenscammed@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can reach out to us on the socials via Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok under the handle Gogo Have I Been Scammed. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on the Sowetan Live and Times Live websites under the podcast tab or across digital streaming platforms, namely Ayono FM, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Gogo Have I Been Scammed is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Muzo. I have been your host, Gogo Zipotolamo, and until next time, Thokozani Emakhosini.